Tonight we are in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is where we are. We will read responsively, please. I'll read the odd verses, and we'll read the even verses together. So Psalm 51, start in verse 1, we'll read all the way down to 19. Psalm 51, verse 1, we'll read responsively. The Bible says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." And let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And God, we thank you when we read a chapter like this, we're reminded that, and God, though we may at times part from you, you're a God that's looking to restore and reconcile us to yourself. Thank you. I do pray that you would please be with every one of us as we listen. Pastor, as he preaches to us tonight, bless our night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Everybody that lives around us, they say tear that old lighthouse down. You know the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light of that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone the light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?
All right, thank you for that. Psalm chapter 51 tonight. We started a series last week we'll go through for the summer from the book of Psalms, different Psalms. They're really the songs of life. If we don't remember the book of Psalms, if I can get a little more up here on those two ones pointing at me. Monitors, thank you. But the book of Psalms is a song book, and it's God's word and it's God's truth, and they sing these, and they teach us a lot about God's unchanging truth, and we're going to look at a truth tonight from this psalm. We will not be long. I know it's a little bit late. It's actually felt a little bit like summer today, and out on the patio, it's probably a little bit warm out there, but let's make sure if the kids are out there that they're paying attention and listening to what was going on. The Bible is a book that is brutally honest. If you read the Bible, when it talks of the Bible characters and what's going on, it tells the truth. It tells the best of what people have done, and it also shares the worst of what people have done. By the way, that's why you appreciate it. People are human. All across the board, no one is perfect, but God shows us that as an example and also to encourage us to stay right, work in our life. The occasion of this psalm is right after Nathan the prophet had talked to David. David had sinned with Bathsheba. He had committed a grievous sin. He was immoral with her. It was adultery. And then to make that worse, he had her husband killed. And then he took her into the fold. And the baby that they had, God found out, and the baby's going to die. But after this had happened, Nathan comes and basically points his finger in David's face. We'll see that in a few minutes, and says, "You're the man. You're the one that did this sin." And David comes clean, and David basically works on getting right with God. That's what you see in this psalm. There's other psalms associated with David's sin, where he talks about some of the cost of his sin. All of us have to deal with sin in our life one way or another. We either deal with it as we try to avoid it, whether we're tempted to do it or it's just something that's our flesh jumps up and we react the wrong way, or we deal with it because we've given in to sin and we need to fix that. But all of us have to. Hopefully, none of us will ever have to deal with sin on the same level that David had to deal with sin and to the same type of sin that David dealt with. So with this psalm as a backdrop, I want us to look at sin from David's life and from David's standpoint. As we see this whole situation, particularly we're looking at the what the psalm goes with, the sin with David and Bathsheba. I want to use this psalm as that backdrop to show us how we can deal with sin also. This plays out in three different stages. Each of them deal with David in a relationship with another individual, and that's how we will see it. Three different sections, I guess you would say. The first one would be David and his relationship with Bathsheba. And that's really the road to sin. That's what took him to a bad place. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. We're not going to read a lot of verses. I know we're late tonight, and I won't spend a lot of time. Some of this will be territory that is familiar to us, but I do want us to see this. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 1. 2 Samuel 11 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." He didn't go. "And it came to pass in the evening, eventide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house." That's the whole sword story right there. And then the rest of the chapter goes on how David dealt with his sin, and he finds out she's pregnant, and he tries to pawn that off on her husband by bringing him back from war so he would think it's his kid, and he won't go anywhere near her. And so David eventually has her killed, and then he has her husband killed, and then brings her into the fold to be another one of his wives. And at the end of the chapter, everything's done, and it seems like David got away with it, and he pulled this whole thing out. But read the last verse of the chapter. "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." I mean, look, in that whole chapter, God is nowhere to be found, except at the end. He says, God just wants to let you know he's not in on this. He is not happy about this. But what I want us to notice when it comes to sin, that sin never happens arbitrarily. In other words, it's not just something where one day you read your Bible, you prayed, you probably witnessed to 12 people, and oops, I do something really, really bad. It's not how sin works. There are roads to sin. There are steps that we take to sin. Understand this. Sin is the culmination of a series of bad choices and the result of a lack of diligence in identifying and avoiding temptation. That's what it is. It's when we sin, it's ultimately the consequence because we've made bad decisions or we've not been careful in identifying and being careful to not be tempted. That's what sin always is. So we see the road to sin in this thing in two different ways. First of all, we see the commission. David committed the act. Why? Well, he wasn't doing what he should be doing. He should have been off to war. Instead, instead of being off to war, he's laying on his bed. He's bored, and he has nothing to do, and he goes up to the roof. By the way, that's one of the steps to sin. You're not doing the things you know you should be doing. By the way, showing up to church is a good thing to keep you on the right line. Reading your Bible every day, that's a good thing to keep you right online. Being the kind of person that doesn't just share their faith, but it's important to you because you want to see people saved, not because you're just fulfilling some thing in your life. It's kind of hard to fall into sin when we're genuinely serving the Lord. If we're doing all those things we're supposed to be doing, you know it's a lot harder to sin. Now you still can. Don't worry. Don't get me wrong, because you can still put yourself in a bad position, but it's a lot harder to. I guarantee you, if David was out there on the battlefield, he's not going to see a bunch of women taking baths. He's going to be around a bunch of stinky, ugly men, and there is no temptation there. But he wasn't doing what he should be doing. Whenever you willingly neglect to do what you know you should as a Christian, you are placing yourself right in the direct path of sin, and we need to be very careful about that. But then he was doing what he shouldn't be doing. So on top of not doing what he should be doing, he was doing what he shouldn't be doing. There she was, out there, lounging around, and he sees her. Right, it should have ended right there, by the way. But he takes it a step further. He allows the temptation to hang around, and he hangs around the temptation, and it doesn't work out very good. Whenever we stop doing what we shouldn't be doing, we're on the road to start doing the things that we... Whenever we stop doing the things we should, we're on the road to start doing the things that we shouldn't. One takes away the place of the other. It's like Daniel. Daniel prepared ahead of time. Daniel's like, you know what? I'm purposing in my heart that I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to do the things I shouldn't. All of that led him to respond not... to not respond in a correct manner. Let me say this. In spite of all of that, the first time he went to the roof and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, he should have said, whoa, I'm out of here. But you know what he did? Allowed himself to look. Oh, who's that down there? Is that what I think it is? Oh, hey. And by the way, she happened to be a beautiful woman. It's like, okay. Well, I'm just looking. That was the first mistake. When you take that first step, you know what it is? It's very easy to take the second step. You know what the second step is? Hey, so-and-so, I noticed a woman down there bathing. Do you know who that is? Oh, that's, hey, go down there and just talk to her a little bit. Oh, that's, so, hey, ask her if she would come up. And then they're in the room together. Listen, come on. You don't have to be a brain surgeon. By the time he got her up in the room and they were alone, it was over. The trap was set. It's just waiting for the snap. He just kept taking step after step. Once you start taking those downward steps, you ever hear of momentum? It's over. You're going downhill. So David committed sin because he just wasn't doing what he should be doing. And whenever you commit sin, that led to the destruction of sin. By the way, sin always has consequences. Let me just say that. God talks about, Christians, you can be successful in anything you do if you meditate on Scripture. You know, there's one thing a Christian can never be successful at, and that is sin. You just can't. Lord, I'm gonna cheat at work, and I'm gonna do this. Lord, please help me. That's not gonna work. Lord, I'm gonna go play the lotto or do other forms of gambling. Lord, help me to win. I'll buy you a new building. Listen, I don't want the money that you're never going to win. You can donate some of the money that you have in your pocket. Amen? That's a lot better. But we think we can sin successfully. Christian, you cannot sin successfully. David tried to patch it up. David tried everything in his might to get this thing figured out. And God's just throwing wrenches in that. And finally, he's like, I'll just kill and get rid of them. And I'll bring them in here. And maybe people won't do the math as to when the baby is born. It just didn't work. Destruction. Destroyed his testimony. Getting a little ahead of myself, but 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14 says, God, when he laid it out to David that he had done wrong, said, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Then God says, a child that's born is going to die. But you know what he said? He said, you gave me a bad name. You know, God's people were supposed to be different. And God gave them victory in battles because they were his people. They were supposed to be different. He's like, you know what? Those same enemies that I was going to take out for you now, they knew, look, they all those different nations followed false gods. And when Israel went to beat them, it was that because their God did marvelous things, he's the true God. And here's the leader of that nation. And it's like, look what he's doing. Everybody's starting to hear about this. And he gave them cause to blaspheme God. Think of it this way. Whenever there's destruction in our testimony, you know who gets hurt? God gets hurt. God takes a hit. The unsaved, people that don't know Jesus Christ, they take a hit because we've set a bad example for them. His family took a hit. He lost a child. By the way, the rest of his, he had a lot of problems in the rest of his family. He lost his influence in the king. You know, could it be that some of the men that like Joab and some of these others that had issues with David and his sons, could it be because they knew what he did to one of his mighty, you know, Uriah, the one he killed, was one of David's mighty men. This was not, and it wouldn't matter either way, to be honest with you, if it was a foot soldier. But this was someone that was known. I wonder how they felt about David. I got to go to battle for this guy, and look what he did to Uriah, one of his mighty men. He took his wife, and he had him killed. No wonder he had some problems in his life. Let me say this. He took a hit in his health. Look at Psalm chapter 51. Look at verses 8 to 12. He says, "Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me." He was physically having weakness and his spirit wasn't right. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. He had no more joy in his Lord. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Some of the other Psalms where he talks about this, he talks about the weight of guilt in his life. And by the way, sin always brings guilt. Mark it down. Satan will tell you, "Hey, you're a child of God. You can do that, and God will still forgive you as soon as you do it." What kind of lousy Christian are you? And that guilt, it's not healthy for us. You know what's healthy for us? Forgiveness. You know what's healthy for us? Right living. Okay? You know, none of us are going to get through this life without having to deal with problems. Can I just tell you something? Man, the better you live, the less problems you have to deal with. You don't have to remember all the lies that you've told. You don't have to deal with all the nonsense you've been involved with. You can have a clean conscience, and that's healthy for you. Stress and all the nonsense that comes with it. So that's David and Bathsheba, the sin there. And now we see David and Nathan, the prophet, the revealing of sin. Turn to chapter 12, you should be there, of 2 Samuel. I'm not going to read all the verses of the story for time's sake. But 2 Samuel, chapter 12 and verse 1, the first part. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." Now, let me explain something. It wasn't a social visit. Okay, it wasn't a coffee visit. You know, one thing I like about these Old Testament stories through the Book of Kings and all that, man, whenever the king does something dumb, the prophets, it's almost like the prophet's just standing right there. How you doing? Remember King Ahab, right? King Ahab, his wife Jezebel, what a name. His wife Jezebel kills Naboth so he can take his vineyard. And she comes up and says, "It's all taken care of. You can have the vineyard." And he runs down there and he's standing in the vineyard like, "Man, we're going to remodel this place and we'll put stuff there." And guess who comes walking up? Elijah, like, "How you doing? What are you doing here?" God always sends the prophet. And God, what? God's going to show us our sin. And so here he is. He's trying to deal with all this, and it's still simmering in the background. And Nathan comes to him, and Nathan tells him the little story. There was a man his friend came, and he's visiting with them, and they needed some food, and, you know, they couldn't just run down to Taco Bell. They had to kill the animal. And he goes, and he had all these animals he could have killed, but he goes and takes the one ewe lamb from this poor man. It's the only little ewe lamb that he had, and it's almost like a family member, and he took his and used it, and he had all this other abundance over there. And David's got mad and said, "What are you talking about? That's evil. That's wrong. That man's going to pay him back fourfold." And once the moment was exactly right, you can see Nathan saying, "You're the guy I'm talking about." And you know what? David got it. David got it. Never be afraid to hear the truth. God is going to reveal it to you. I like this confrontation. I like that God, look, God is in the confronting business. Don't discount that. If you're looking for a church where you're going to come here and every Sunday we're going to throw flowers, I don't like flowers. They cost money and they die, okay? And I know you have to give your wife some every now and then. It's a total waste of money, but I don't know what they like them for, but whatever. But I'm not saying every, but you know what? The truth is going to confront us because we're not perfect. There's got to be, look, There had to be someone to keep the kings in line. And even then they didn't listen. And by the way, there were some of the kings, and give David credit, he does listen, but there are some of the kings that would listen to the kings, but there was other of them that say, get out of here. They'd have them killed because they didn't want to hear the truth. But when you sin, mark it down. If you're God's child, God's going to confront you. If you're God's child, some way, first of all, the Spirit of God's going to convict you. You say, man, I've got to the point where I sin and the Spirit doesn't convict me anymore. That's a bad place to get to. That means you haven't responded to the other times. But it might just be you're sitting in a church service and something is said and it's like, he's talking about me. Well, of course, he doesn't know he's talking about you. Could be God bringing that to light. Could be you're trying to hide something and it's going to come up. Those of you that have been around long enough and you've heard the bad stories of people messing up in ministry, it always comes out. You can't hide it. But God's going to confront us. If you go through the Bible, there's going to be the times that are encouraging. There's going to be the times that are comforting. There's going to be the times that are teaching. And there's going to be the times that are pointed and straightforward. Isn't that what we want to get as Christians? Don't we want to work with our sin and deal with it? And David confronts him. And then I like what David said. Verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. David makes a declaration. You know what he said? You're right. He did not make excuse for it. By the way, never make excuse for your sin. Well, I grew up in a dysfunctional family. Well, get in line, man. I have these struggles, and I'm not discounting your struggles. Don't get me wrong. But because we're in Jesus Christ, we can overcome those struggles, and we don't have to allow those to be an excuse to go on a wrong path. But David just comes straight forward and goes, I did it. I sinned. The key with what happens to us once we sin is how do we respond to it once we're confronted. Whether God's Spirit confronts us, whether we're confronted in our Bible reading, whether confronted by a message, how do we respond to it? David responded correctly. I think of, in my mind, it might have been a bit of a relief to him, but David did respond. And let me say this. It's always better to respond before you're found out. You know, some people, I'm showing my age here, Brother Bichardo, but you were there. Jimmy Swaggart. How many remember Jimmy Swaggart? I'm not a Jimmy Swaggart fan. He's as phony as a $4 bill, and he always was, by the way. But I saw that was, I think everybody in America saw it. He got up and I have sinned and I'm confessing it. You ain't confessing it, brother. You got caught. That is not confession. But when God convicts you about it, how do you respond? Are you waiting for someone to catch you? Or you don't want to deal with it. Years ago, we were supporting a missionary. He was on deputation. And he came in, and we took him on for support. And so he was sending mission letters. He was not to the field yet. And my daughter, Jessica, used to work in the office for me at that time, and she would do the missions letters. And he sent his mission letter, and I didn't read it. I gave it to hers. And she brought it to me, and she said, you know, there's another letter under here. Are you sure you want me to put this one on the board? And I took the letter. And here's what the missionary said. He said, I've been struggling with internet pornography. He said, I was at a church service. He was at a church service as a visiting missionary to present his ministry and ask for support. Think about that. And he's struggling with this sin. He said, he was not preaching that night. He said, I was there, and as their special speaker was preaching, he said, I got convicted for my pornography that I've allowed myself to get involved with. Now, here's where, to me, his courage came through. He said, at the end of the service, a missionary, he said, I walked down the altar, I went to the pastor, and I confessed my sin to him. And he goes, I'm not going to be going to the field, I'm going to get my sin right. Now, he responded correctly to God's prompting. See, we have to respond to our sin. When we sin, we can either make excuse for it, we can either think we can hide it, we can go on and living in misery, or we can simply get right. Lastly, I want us to see David and God. I want us to see the recovery from sin. See, sin's a bad thing. But you know the good thing is? We can get recovery from it. And I hope nobody in here is a David and Bathsheba situation, but just because it's not a David and Bathsheba situation doesn't mean we need to deal with it. Because once we let those little compromises and those, if you want to call it, little sins in our life, it's going to lead to more and more and more and more and more. And we have to deal with it right now. And David dealt with it. He got cleansed. Look at verse 2 of Psalm chapter 51. He says, Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says, I don't want just forgiveness. I want this wiped away. I want to get past this. I want to get over this. I don't want this to be who I am. Wash me. Cleanse me. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Too often what happens is we just want enough of, we want enough of forgiveness that we walk around still like, you know, I still have this in my background. Listen, you're over that. Let's go forward. I don't like this thing that they do in the Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. That's nonsense. That is a loser mentality. That's like saying, I was unsaved and I got saved, but I'm still always unsaved. No, that's over with. God wants to cleanse you so that portion of your life is done and Satan can't repeatedly throw it in your face. That doesn't mean you don't need to take precautions because you've had issues with sin. If you've had issues with alcohol, you need to take some serious precautions even after you get cleansed. If you've had problems with pornography, you're cleansed and you can get over it, but you better take some serious precautions that you don't go back to it. But listen, God wants you to be a new creature. You don't have to let that hover over your head forever. And David's like, I want this thing clean. Now, there's always consequences we have to deal with, but let's cleanse ourselves. Let's get cleansed. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's nice. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, if all you want is forgiveness, you're going to be asking for forgiveness for the same sin over and over and over and over and over. Yeah, Lord, you know I have a serious anger problem, and I did it again today. Lord, forgive me for that. All right, and then what happens tomorrow? Same thing. Lord, I want forgiveness, but I don't want forgiveness. I want that washed away in my life. I don't want to be like that. Cleansing. And that comes to deliverance. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And all of that, David, I want to get delivered from sin. So who am I talking to tonight? And I'm done. All of us. But what am I trying to say? Well, first of all, be careful to avoid sin. But let's not get caught up in the first place. Don't let the fact that we can be forgiven from sin be an excuse for us to get into sin. Satan's good at that. Be quick to admit when you do sin. Don't hide it. Deal with it right then. That's what 1 John is all about. That ought to be on your prayer list. And Lord, I want forgiveness for what I've done. And he'll bring it to remembrance. By the way, if you're dealing with that, just get on your knees. Whenever you get on your knees, every sin you're doing will just pop to your mind right away. God just has a way of bringing it. Because it's like, don't get on your knees and talk to me if you're not going to deal with this. Be quick to admit it. And be willing to allow God to work in you to recover you. To go on in your life. Don't let it be a hindrance. Sin is just the way it is. And we need to be very, very careful. Everywhere we go, there's a spiritual pothole, and we better just be very, very, very careful and respond. Let's all stand together this evening, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed.